Well, let's get behind it with our prayers, our pocketbooks, and our support. And let's give tonight, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Pray now that you'd bless this offering tonight. Let it be what you want it to be. Have your way in our lives. Lord God, bless our buses. Lord, fix them. Keep them running. Bless our drivers, every worker. Encourage everyone. Have your way in our hearts. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Something for us there, Brother Jason, if you don't mind. While he's coming, this would be a good time for me to say something here. I mentioned Sunday night about us helping Kim, and Kim's sick tonight. Some of her kids, she's sick, and so while she's not here, it'd be a good time for me to mention this. Lord put it on my heart for us to help her. She goes on bus route every Saturday, don't have a car, don't have money, nothing, because her situation, and so I've already had a couple people told me that they'd give some money to help her, just us get her a car. I think for about $1,200 to $1,500, we could get her a decent car that'll help her get around and go on bus route. And I've had two or three people say I'll get $100, $200, whatever, and I'm going to. So if anybody else wants to help to do that, we're going to be looking for one wholesale, car sale or something like that. And get her car. I hardly ever feel that strong about something. But, man, if a person wants to get out and reach kids for the Lord and can't even have a car, well, us as her brothers and sisters in Christ ought to help her. If you can't or don't want to help, that's fine. But if you do, let me know, and we're going to try to get her something that she can drive. Okay? Y'all come on, brother. So let me know about that. If anybody wants to say anything about it or knows where, I know where one is right now. You can get for about $800, but it's not a great car. But one lady came up and said, maybe I can even give her my car. So you never know what the Lord might do. So let's not forget that, okay?
Look out and set it up, honey.
Amen.
That just goes to show you ain't much unless you're hooked up. Amen.
Right.
Amen. I need much of a microphone unless it's plugged up. Send the midnight hour. Standing by your face, and you've cried all your tears, in all the prayers you said, that when Jesus comes running, he takes you by the hand, just hold on, you can make it. Press on.
Yes, they do.
Encouraging tonight, isn't it? Say amen right there. Press on. Don't give up. There's one word that a Christian should never use, and that's quit. Just don't quit. Absolutely don't quit. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how discouraged you are, no matter how low the funds are, or how low the spirit is, just don't quit. That's the secret to the Christian life. Don't quit. All right. We're going to get our Bibles open now. The book of Galatians, chapter 1. Man, I'm telling you what, the last 2 weeks, we have got into some great stuff. For you that were not here, you really missed it. I'm going to hit it real quick, and we're going to get into the, chapter 1 there, the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians has 6 chapters, 149 verses, 3,084 inspired words. The book of Galatians is divided into 3 parts, basically. Chapters 1 and 2 is a personal section. Paul's talking about his call to preach in the gospel. Chapters 3 and 4 is a doctrinal section. And he's talking about a lot of doctrine in the Word of God. Chapter 5 and 6 is a practical section and encouragement. Now, he starts out by saying, Paul, an apostle. We got all that covered last 2 weeks ago. Not of man, neither by man. Paul starts talking about his call to preach. He's not called by man. He's not put into ministry by man. And he's a God-called preacher. And that's what we need. That's the only kind of preacher that needs to be preaching is God-called. Somebody said some were called, some were sent, some just packed up and went. And I've heard a lot of preachers say, these mama called, daddy called. I'm going to say something about being called to preach. Lots of times you'll have a great preacher and he'll pastor a church for years and years and he'll want to turn that ministry over to his son and let him carry on the work, and it's a flop. Because the son ain't maybe even called to preach. I've seen that happen a lot of times. There are exceptions, like Ralph Sexton, for example. The church has flourished under his ministry, and God, because God called Ralph Sexton Jr. But a lot of times when a man tries to raise up his son to take over his work, it don't work. Because God has to do that. The Lord has to put you in the ministry. Paul said, he put me in the ministry. I've had people ask me before, well, who gave you the right to preach? I said, the Lord did. I said, I have no credentials. There's not a school in this world that's ever ordained me. I have been ordained by my pastor and to preach, but I have no authority in this world and don't want none. I have no license from the state. I don't want it, don't need it. It's none of the state's business. The Lord called me to preach. That's what Paul's saying here. I talked to our banker today in Marion, and he told me he said, Danny, the day's coming when they're going to tax churches. They're trying their best to get it now. And I said, yeah, them hypocrites, they want our money. What about separation of church and state? They scream all the time. All the churches ought to rise up and say, nope, separation of church and state. You preach it, practice it. They want us to vote. They don't want our opinion on inequality, but then they want to take our money. The world didn't call us. The world didn't give it to me. The world can't take it away. What I've got in my heart tonight, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't put it in me. Neither was it put by man. Neither was it put by my mama. It was put there by the Lord. That's what Paul's saying. And then we got the purpose of him writing to the Galatians is verse 6. They were moved from the grace of God unto another gospel. And he said, you people done got messed up here. And then in verse 8, we got on this heavy last time. He said, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Now think about that. If an angel from heaven floated down in most churches, people would believe everything he said. That's how sure Paul was of his preaching. That's how sure he was. He said, I don't care. And they didn't have a Bible then. They didn't have no New Testament. It wasn't even wrote. He said, bless God, I'm so sure of what I know and what I believe and what Jesus done for me. If an angel floats out of that sky and tells you something different, he's accursed. There's a man that's sure of what he believes, buddy. There's a man that's sure of what he believes. If an angel come down in your room and told you something other than what Paul preached in our dispensation, let him be accursed. And then we got into that thing about an angel. There is a time when an angel will preach another gospel. Revelation 14. And he said he'll preach the everlasting gospel. And that'll be fine during the tribulation. You got to understand now. You got to understand. When Jesus come, Jesus and John the Baptist did not preach the gospel Paul preached. They preached the gospel of the kingdom. When they come preaching, they said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Paul didn't preach that. Paul preached the gospel of Christ, died for our sins according to the Scripture, and was buried and rose again according to the Scripture, and is coming back. That's the gospel of the grace of God. That's not the gospel of the kingdom. During the tribulation, they're going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Kingdom's coming. Kingdom's coming. Kingdom's coming. Get ready. The kingdom's coming. So the gospel of the grace of God is to be preached in this dispensation. But if a man preaches right now, and what these people were doing, they were Judaizers, they called them, Judaism. They were preaching you had to have works, you had to be baptized in order to be saved or stay saved. And Paul said they're accursed. They're accursed. He said you are saved by grace through faith plus nothing, minus nothing. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You and I have the privilege of preaching to this generation that the salvation is an absolute free gift of God. You don't do nothing to earn it. You don't do anything to keep it. You didn't do nothing to get it. You ain't do nothing to lose it. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. That's shouting ground, people. That's in 1 Corinthians 15 on in there, but that's what he's saying. And then he talks about verse 15. He talks about when it pleased God who separated him from his mother's womb. That's not a verse that says God made Paul preach. Paul could have rejected that call when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and he said, who are you? And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Paul could have walked away and said, I don't want to preach. He's not a Calvinist. And we'll get on that more later. But I want to talk about some other things here tonight. And look at verse number 10. He said, do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, a man's got to make up his mind, all of us, are we going to please people? Are we going to please God? He said, if I please men, I'm not even a servant of Christ. Now that verse breathes the spirit of biblical Christianity, people. There's a long line of people like Billy Sunday, Charles Spurgeon, John Wesley, the martyrs, George Whitefield, that said, I'm going to please God. If the organized religion don't like it, that's too bad. And some of them paid for it with their lives. And the day may come when we may have to do that. I'm telling you, He said, if I try to please men, I ain't going to please God. Paul wasn't a politician. He wasn't this politician that talked out of both sides of his mouth. If you're a God pleaser, you are not a man pleaser. And if you are a man pleaser, you are not a God pleaser. Now, I don't mean we're supposed to be a rebellious smart aleck and says, I don't care what nobody says, I'm going to do what I want. That's not what that means. That means when I preach on Sunday, I'm not up here just to tickle your ears and tell you what you want to hear. Let me give you a couple things I want you to remember about a man pleaser. Listen to this. You can always spot a man pleasing preacher because they will never commit themselves orally or legibly to any Bible truth that affects their income or social image. I'm going to say that again. That's worth saying again. You can always spot a preacher who's a man pleaser because he'll never commit himself orally, legally, or any other way to any Bible truth that's going to affect his income or his social image. What does that mean? A man pleaser ain't going to preach on hellfire, and he ain't going to preach on issues. And don't ever forget this. You don't identify a false preacher by what he says. Don't ever forget that. Y'all learn this. You don't know a fake preacher by what he says. You know a false preacher by what he will not say. A lot of what they say, a lot of what them guys do on TV say is good. A lot of what the Pope said, we all should love peace and love each other. You can't argue that. You can tell you how you know he's a crook? What he won't say. What he won't say. What a man won't say. I hardly ever listen to Joel Osteen. Hardly ever. I can't understand it. But you can't find much wrong with what he says. It's what he won't say that gives him away. You can't. I remember my mom, bless her heart, she used to watch Garner 10 Armstrong. And you couldn't be no further off. And I said, Mom, don't watch him. He's crazy. She said, now, Danny, you shouldn't be like that. He says some real good things. And I said, Mom, he's a crook. he believes in British Israelism. That means he believes that all the promises made to Israel in the Old Testament is to the church now. That's false doctrine. And that's what a lot of them put, the prosperity gospel. You know, them preachers get on TV and say, I will put none of the diseases that I put on you. That ain't a Christian doctrine. That ain't a Christian doctrine. That's the Ten Commandments. That's like preaching not eating certain meat. That's the Old Testament Jew. I heard a preacher on TV this week. I listened to him. And he said something about that way back there in the Old Testament. Had it all wrong. What was it? I forgot what it was. It was one of them verses like that where God said, I'll make you the head, not the tail. Those charismatic preachers love to preach that because they believe that we can reign down the kingdom gospel. The kingdom. We ain't in the kingdom. And the king ain't here. King's absent. We're in the age of the church. And I do believe God will bless you. I do believe in sowing and reaping. I do believe there's practical things we can get from those promises. But we are not Old Testament Jews under the law. Tell you something. I've heard them preachers get on TV and said, if you serve God, he'll always take care of you and he'll supply your needs and this, that, and the other. Let me tell you something, people. There's been a lot of Christians starved to death that's living more right than me and you in Sudan. Why didn't God supply their need? There's been a lot of Christians killed. I hear preachers on TV get on there and say, if you'll live right and claim, God will give you a financial blessing. Well, they must not be none of them in Sudan living right. Well, they don't have nothing, food or nothing. They got their Bible screwed up. You can't take the promises to Israel and apply them to the church. There may be a principle there. It may work in some cases, but it's not a doctrine for the church. You've got to get your doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Number one, for doctrine and for correction and all that kind of stuff like that. For correction, doctrine, inspiration, so forth and so on. So you identify a false preacher by what he won't say. You'll never hear one of those liberal preachers preach a sermon on hellfire. You won't hear it. And Jesus preached on hellfire. You hear him get on there all the time and say, now Jesus is our example. Well, then let's preach on hellfire then. Hellfire. I don't like it a bit more than you do. I wish there wasn't no such place. But brother, we can't say we're following Jesus and not preach on hell fire and damnation. Now, that's where the rubber meets the road. You know what Paul said in verse 11? He said, I got it by the revelation of Christ in verse 12. He said, man didn't teach me this. He said, God gave it to me. Now let's move on down there to verse 13. So he said, I persecuted the church of God. That ain't a denomination. That's a body of believers in the world. And profited in Jews' religion above many mine equals. Let's move on. We got to hurry. We can't spend all our time on this first chapter. Verse 14, he said, I was zealous above all them, and above the tradition of my fathers. God separated from my mother's womb. Paul was one of these guys that whatever he did it 100%. He said, I was more zealous than all of them. He said, I was having Christians put in jail. That's why the Apostle Paul was such a great man. You know, God can use a person that gives 100%. Usually a person that goes way bad one way can go way good the other way when they get right. A lot of people the devil can really use, God can really use. Paul said, man, I was 100% this way, now I'm 100% that way. He said, he separated my mother's womb. God knew it. He did not. God didn't determine that Paul was going to be a preacher. Paul asked Jesus, he said, what wilt thou have me do? Jesus didn't make him do nothing. Don't ever forget that. He didn't make him, he don't make you. I know people who their wife leaves them, and they pray, Lord, bring her back, Lord, bring her back, Lord, bring her back. And they ask me, they said, Brother Danny, why ain't God answer my prayers? And I said, because God don't make people do nothing. He's not going to grab your wife and throw her back in your home. What good would that be? She said, I'm stuck, God made. Now, he'll convict her. He'll deal with her. He'll make her wish she had never seen the light of day, but he will not make a person do nothing. I had women tell me, I pray for my husband every day. Why ain't God saved him? Because God will not go against a person's free will. He won't do it. He will not do it. If he did, we could just pick somebody out and say, Lord, save them. And he'd have to save them against their will. He don't do that. He did not make Paul preach. God didn't make Paul preach. Paul had the option of rejecting that call. I am a firm believer in the free will of man. You have a free will to get in Christ. You have a free will to live right or wrong. God will judge you if you live wrong, but he gives you the choice. God don't make people do nothing. You have a free will. The will, whosoever will, let him come. Your will is involved. Whosoever will, let him come. I don't believe that God picks people out before they're born and to save them. Somebody said, well, we was in Christ from the foundation of the world. No, God knew you was going to get in Christ, and you're not saved until you're in him. And you ain't in him till you get saved. God chose from the foundation of the world to save everybody who got in Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. Are you listening to me? God chose before the foundation of the world to save anybody who come to Christ. You want me to say that again? They say, well, didn't God pick us out before the foundation of the world? He foreknew it. He knew what was going to happen. But God didn't say, I'm going to save you and you and you and you and you and not you and not you and not you. He didn't do that. That's a fatalistic, false heresy taught by John Calvin, believed by the Presbyterian Church, and about half of the Baptists in the South. That is not true. God didn't pick you out to get saved before you was born and skip over other people. Anybody can get saved. Amen? It's not his will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. I showed a guy that verse one time, and he said, well, that means any of the elect. It's not his will that any of the elect should perish. Now, remember what I told you. When you teach false doctrine, you have to add a word to the verse that ain't in there. It didn't say any of the elect. It said any. If you have to put a word in there to make it teach your doctrine, there's something wrong with your doctrine. Amen? I'm laying it to y'all tonight. I hope you're soaking this in. You can stop me anytime you want to. Yeah. That's exactly right. It's His will. It's not His will that the elect perish, but they all couldn't repent because they're going to do it anyway. That's what they believe. They believe that if Jesus died for somebody and they didn't get saved, then His death would be in vain. So everybody that He died for is coming to Christ and getting saved. And that He only died for the elect, the church. Yeah. That's right. Foreknew. Foreknowledge. He knew Jeremiah was going to grow up, be a preacher, and he went ahead and ordained him and everything. Right.
That don't mean that he didn't have free will.
Right. But Jeremiah was, I won't say he's an exception, but I'm saying we didn't know Christ till we got saved. In the Bible sense of being saved. Jeremiah wasn't in the body of Christ. You know what I mean? If it means that, Jeremiah was never lost. You know what I mean? Was he saved from the minute he was born?
Sanctified, just set apart.
Yeah. But Jeremiah had to be a sinner. I mean, but they didn't get saved in that, in the sense we get saved in the Old Testament. But he was never lost. Right. That's right. Jeremiah could have rejected, but God knew that he wouldn't, and he knew he was going to do it. So he sanctified him and ordained him from his mother's womb. Now, if that ain't right, the only other alternative is Jeremiah didn't have a choice. And I just can't believe that. I just cannot believe that God makes people do stuff without a choice. Anybody else? We're not studying Calvinism tonight, but that Paul, look at verse 16. He said, God chose to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. That means Paul didn't run down, ask some guy, should I be a preacher? What do you think about it? He said, buddy, I didn't go up to Jerusalem. I didn't go to the apostles. I went into Arabia in the desert and returned unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, verse 18, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. There's an interesting verse. There's an interesting verse. Look at it, everybody. Verse 18. He went in the desert for 3 years. That's where he got his education. Neology, brother. He got his B.A. degree, born again. And he got that neology. Went out and stayed with the Lord in the desert for 3 years. And you got to remember, Paul didn't get saved while Jesus was on earth. He never seen him feed the 5,000. He never saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. He didn't even know about all this stuff. He got saved, met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and then he went out in the desert 3 years, and then he goes and finds Peter and stays with him 15 days. 2 weeks and 1 day. Wouldn't you like to have been sitting over in the corner and heard the Apostle Paul and Peter talking? Here, Paul, tell me about it. What did he do at night? Peter said, well, we'd all pray and then he'd just lay down and go to sleep just like one of us. Well, how did it feel being around him? Did he ever touch you? Oh, yeah. He laid hands on us. Tell me about that feeding the 5,000. Did that food just pop out of that basket? Or did it, when you give it to him, did it grow more? Wouldn't you like to hear Peter and Paul talking for 15 days? Man, you talk about some stories. I mean, he went through the whole 3.5 years of the ministry of Jesus. And Paul, I'll bet you, Paul was a brilliant man, could speak several languages. I guarantee you, son, he was writing it down on them parchments and stuff he carried around with him all the time. So he didn't go to the Jerusalem. He didn't go to the apostles. He went and seen Peter for 15 days. Now, I want to show you something. Look at verse 16. And then go back to what I said a minute ago about liberal preachers. To reveal His Son in me,
that I might preach him, Jesus, among the heathen. See that word, heathen? The world hates that. I'll guarantee you the new Bibles, I don't know if anybody in here's got a new version, but I just about bet you they take that word heathen out. We don't like to be called heathen. It's off, you know, but the Bible says people without God are heathen. Heathen. Can anybody tell me what that word heathen means? I mean, they have heart attacks. They're heathen. They're heathen in suits. They're heathen driving Lamborghinis. They're heathen living in penthouses and apartments that cost $2,000 a month in Los Angeles. Heathen. When we think of the heathen, we think of people running around in Africa with a rag, with no clothes, and beating on bongo drums. Listen, brother, the heathen, a man told a preacher one time, he said, where the heathen go? And man said, JCPenney and Sears and there's heathen right here in the United States. They said a man come home from a mission field one time, and he'd been in Africa, he's giving testimonies and stuff, and they said, how is it being around the heathen? He said, describe the heathen. And here's what he said. He said, the heathen, he said, they love to take their clothes off. And he said, they love to paint their bodies. And he said, they love to dance. And he said, they're very religious. That's the way he described heathen. And the man said, Lord, the United States is full of them. Kanye, every one of them wears crosses around their neck, talk about Jesus, obsessed with the Lord. Did you hear that Kanye West this week said what got him through all his troubles was God, sex, and alcohol? That was on Fox News last night. That idiot is completely so off base, it ain't even funny. I mean, what's he talking about? He's crazy. They're obsessed. Heathen are obsessed with God. That man that's demon possessed went and fell down and worshiped Jesus. They know he's got power. That's why they make all these songs. That's why Madonna and all of them wear crosses. They know that's where the power is. Be connected with that name, Jesus Christ. So when we say people are heathen, we ain't kidding. That ain't just old country slang. Paul said, I preach to the heathen, buddy. And he said, look at verse 19. Here's another one. Look at this. Every time you turn around in this Bible, you hit a snag, according to the world. But of the apostles, I saw none save James, the Lord's brother. Do you realize how controversial that is? You know that there's 900 million Catholics and the Pope believe that's wrong? They don't believe Mary had any other children besides Jesus. They believe Mary was a perpetual virgin and sinned against her husband Joseph by never having sexual relations with him and went to heaven with being a virgin and never had no more children. The Bible said that's James, the Lord's brother. You know what the modern versions say? They say it's his cousin. Isn't it funny how when you get down and start studying the Bible, how it goes against the world and against the grain? It's his brother. Old Ruckman's commentary, he said, RSV, brother, I mean cousin. RV, cousin. Catholic commentary, cousin. So what do we say to this? The odds are he was James, the Lord's brother. He had a brother. Mary was not a virgin all her life. Jesus had brothers and sisters. Flesh and blood. Wouldn't that be weird if Jesus was your brother? What if you was Jesus' sister? Wouldn't that be cool? Good night. What do you want?
What about you? I mean, everything that usually that's a doctor, it usually has two in it. Jude is the proof that he had two brothers and a... Wouldn't he be the brother of James?
I don't know, but he had more than one. Because it said his brothers and sisters are here. Yeah, that's right. I don't know what he done all that from the time he's 12 to his 30, working a carpenter shop.
You don't have to worry about him doing anything besides what he did do.
That's right. But wouldn't that be something?
If James, the Lord's brother, right there, that little verse goes contrary to the entire Catholic Church. James, the Lord's brother. I believe it's his brother. He just say like he's my brother, like you're my brother, huh? I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did, brother. I'm sure they did. They have a heart attack when you say heathen. They have, Peter told him about the things. And look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. I like this. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Man, he's telling the truth. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Isn't that something? He said, buddy, these people had heard about me getting saved. They heard about me preaching, and they glorified God. Say, glory to God, he can save old Paul. He can save anybody. Old Paul, he was a man, buddy. And history tells us, I don't know this, that historians, people who claim to know, say that Paul was a little man and maybe slumped over, and I don't know where they get that. But he was not much to look at. We know that. He said, he's like a frail little fella. But son, I'm telling you, buddy, when he spoke, God was on him, and he was a man like no other man we've seen since Jesus Christ. Probably the one of the greatest, if not the greatest Christian that's ever lived, the Apostle Paul. He met him, he done an about face, and son, he floorboarded it until they killed him. And I'm telling you, he wrote these books. You ever heard people say, well, a man wrote the Bible? Well, that's a half truth. The devil tells half truth. Man's hand did it, but he was guided by the Holy Spirit as he wrote the Word of God. Ed McAbee said, inspiration, the meaning of inspiration is God got a hold of the head, the heart, and the hand of those men and inspired them. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They didn't go into a trance and go like that. You know, they were right with God. They wrote these letters, and God inspired them as they wrote. It wasn't like this demon possessed guy that draws with his toes and stuff. I used to remember that guy. But they were just led. They were led. I've heard people say the King James translator wasn't inspired. No, I didn't say. I've never said it was inspired. I said they were led. The Bible was already inspired. They were led as they translated it. All right? Anybody else got a comment or a question? They glorified God in him. I can imagine, he said, Peter, what was it like to see him heal people? What happened when he healed? Peter went through all them stories. 15 days they sat there and talked. 15 days. He went to Arabia and got his education. 3 years in the wilderness will do you more and better than any Bible college in the world. 3 years in the desert, brother, fasting and praying and looking up to God and praying. I mean, you can get something there that you can't get nowhere. I'm glad for what little bit of education I've got. Wish I had more. The more the better. But I'm telling you, everything God ever done with me, it wasn't because of an education. It was because of His power. And that's where we're missing it in this generation. We're raising up a generation of preachers that know a lot and have no power. We need power in the house of God, people. Power. Power in God's house. Conviction. Old-fashioned. Holy Ghost. Bible preaching and conviction. And they glorify God in me. I could start. Let's just go ahead and read the first verse of chapter 2, and I'm going to stop. I don't want to really get into it tonight. Look at this. Then 14 years after, chapter 2, verse 1, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. See, the gospel of the grace of God. He ain't preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Paul did not preach the gospel of the kingdom. He preached the gospel of grace. The grace of God. And he said,
to the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. He took Titus with him, and he took Barnabas with him. Now, Barnabas was his buddy, and him and Titus, I think, was a Gentile, and they were teaching these people, and Paul, it was unheard of for one of them apostles to have a Gentile with him and preach to Gentiles. Because all they had preached to was Jews up until that time. All of a sudden they started preaching Gentiles, and some of them thought he was wrong. But Paul, buddy, when the Holy Ghost fell on them, they spoke in tongues and everything else, that proved that God had accepted the Gentiles also, like he did Jews. Now we'll get into that next time. These false brethren, it said here, look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily, that means private, like see that word privy, private, to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. There's your verse to think about between now and next Wednesday night. He said, we preach the liberty of Christ saved by grace, and these false brethren came in and despised our liberty and tried to bring us back into bondage, telling us you had to be circumcised, telling you had to keep the law, telling you had to do this in order to be saved. He said, you don't have to do none of that to be saved. You're saved by grace through faith. Now, let me give you something to think about, and I'm going to stop. It always happens that way. When you really get right with God, these religious people come out of the cracks at work and start trying to straighten you out and tell you how wrong your church is and how you need to come to their church, and their church has the real truth. And that's when you look back at them and say, where was you all these 20 years when I was living in sin and lost? They don't ever mess with you till you get right with God. Man, you wouldn't believe the people I've seen get saved, come to church real good, and then you don't see them. Well, what happened to you? Well, this man at work told me that I was in the wrong church and I had to get baptized. And them false brethren will come out of the woodwork when a person gets right with God. Start trying to mess them up. I'm sure some of you had that happen. Some of you, your old crazy aunt heard you got saved, and then she come over. She never did go visit you when you was lost. As soon as you got saved, she come over and started straightening you out and told you that her church was the right one. You know what I mean? That always happens. False brethren, privily, come in. False brethren, brother. They always show up. You lead somebody to the Lord, and you watch them. Them false brethren, I see them over at the flea market when I go by. Sometimes on the bus route, we'll stop by the flea market. You get to witness to people and buy some beef jerky and something like that. We'll stop by there, and these guys got this little booth. And this ought to make somebody in here feel very guilty. They got a booth, and them Jehovah's Witnesses sit there every Saturday for hours giving out their literature. And they're false brethren. They're false brethren. And I thought, where's the Baptist? Where's the King James Bible believers? Man, we need to get us one of them booths over there and put the truth out over there. One church had it for a while and quit. Isn't it amazing that them false brethren, they've been doing that for years. And I wave at them. Sometimes I'll just go by and they always wave at me. I'm going like this. I wave reluctantly. I try to be a gentleman, but I want to go over and rip them Watchtower magazines up and throw them in the trash. Yeah, I have to. Yeah, they will. I told some of them too. That's false brethren brought in privily, unaware. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Anybody tries to tell you you've got to keep the law to be saved? Anybody tries to tell you you have to be circumcised to be saved? Anybody tells you you have to endure to the end to be saved? It's false brethren brought in unaware, trying to mess you up. And that's what Paul's telling these Galatians. All right. Anybody? Another question before we go. Yes, sir. Yeah.
And they're twisted.
Yeah.
And I was telling about Sodom and Gomorrah and how God judged it. And I said to them that the only men, I told the whole story. And I said, God sent two men in there who were angels. I said, he'd never seen any women angels. And that little boy said, well, that's sexist.
Yeah.
I said, so you're telling me the God of the universe is sexist?
That's what he's saying.
I said, yeah. And I said, what do you think about what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
And the other boy was
Yeah.
That's the heathen.
That's right. The heathen, it don't matter what the Bible says. We're right. We believe in our right. That's what's wrong in the United States right now. With same-sex marriages and stuff. It don't matter what the Bible says. That's heathen. That's heathen, brother. People will make fun of you for using that word. Oh, you're old-timey, judgmental. That's a Bible word put in there by the Holy Ghost. People that don't know God are heathen. Heathen. That's exactly right. Amen. Amen. That's right. He can be a billionaire and be a fool, be a heathen. Is that right? Well, I'm sure if NIV does, I guarantee the other one does too. That word heathen ain't in there. That's why you stick with your King James. So that's why they don't like it, buddy. It cuts like a two-edged sword. It says you're a heathen. I was a heathen before I got saved. Now I'm a saint. You may not think it, but the Lord said I'm a saint. Amen? Saint Danny. That's me. Amen. Saint Ray. Amen. Saint Angie right there. We're saints in Christ. Amen. All right. All mine and ours clear. Let's bow our head and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, it's rich. Lord, most of us would have never even believed that all these riches were just in those first few verses in Galatians.